Okay, if you would open your Bibles with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, is where we're up to, where we look at the Lord's entry into Jerusalem. We all stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew 21 from verse 1. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise'?" And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodge there. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you would give us clarity. You would speak directly to us through your word and proclaim your greatness. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Okay, so verse 1 of our text this morning begins, "Now when they," that is Jesus and his disciples, "drew near to Jerusalem." Remember, he is on his way there now on a journey that will end with his crucifixion, when he would give his life there and rise again in order to pay the penalty for our sins to save the believers, his followers. And so, not far outside Jerusalem, they came to Bethage, to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once." The account in Mark's Gospel also adds the detail. "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it." A colt is a young donkey, and they were often tied to their mother, as this one is. Now, the significance here of a colt, a young donkey, that no one has ever sat upon, is that as you read the Old Testament law, you find the Jews regarded animals that had never been ridden as suitable for holy purposes. Well, this young donkey here, he's about to carry the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's about to carry the Holy of Holies himself into Jerusalem. So it's most definitely been selected for a holy purpose, this young donkey. Now, Matthew, whom God inspired to write this account of his son Jesus' life, then tells us in verse 4 exactly why the Lord is doing this and what is happening here. Verse 4 reads, "This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying," quoting the Old Testament prophet Zechariah, chapter 9 and verse 9, it reads, verse 5 continues, "Say to the daughter of Zion," a name for the people of Jerusalem, "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, on a fold, a beast of burden." So, of the two animals, the mother and the young colt, there is no doubt upon which was the one that Jesus sat upon. But what is the significance of this? What is Jesus saying here by acting out this prophecy in Zechariah 9:9? Well, the answer is, "Behold, your king is coming to you." Jesus is declaring here, "I am that king spoken of in Zechariah 9:9, who is coming to you humble upon the colt of a donkey." And he is declaring here that he is not only the Jewish king, he is not the king of Jewish people only, because let me read to you Zechariah 9, verse 9 quoted here, but also verse 10 there, where we see just how far the kingship of this king reaches. Zechariah 9, verse 9 reads, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And listen also to the next verse in verse 10. "I will cut off the chariots from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off, and he will speak peace to the nations. And his dominion, his kingship, will be from sea to sea and from river to ends of the earth." You see, by coming into Jerusalem now on the colt of a donkey, Jesus is announcing here that he is the Messiah. He is announcing that he is this king. Not just of the Jews, but of the nations from sea to sea, of all people. That he is the king of the world. And he is coming, he says, to bring salvation. The word salvation means to save or to rescue. The king is coming to rescue and to save people. Not just the Jews, but people of every nation, of all the earth, he says. What has he come to save or to rescue people from? Well, as was said at the birth of Jesus, "They shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." He will save them from the guilt of sin, the power of sin, and the penalty of sin. And there is a judgment to come. And one day we will all leave this world. That is certain. We will all stand before God. And people will be judged and held accountable for their sin against them. People often say, "Oh, why does God allow all this sin and wickedness in the world?" Well, first of all, the very question tells us that people know it's right for God to judge evil. God has put that desire in our hearts that we know the guilty should be punished. But the answer to that question is that there is a day coming when God will punish all sin wherever it's found. But the problem for people asking the question is it won't just stop at, you know, the so-called big sinners, but he will punish all sin. And as the Bible says, all have sinned. We have all been selfish and done things wrong. And so if God was to come right now, he would not just punish the Adolf Hitlers of this world and the murderers and the rapists, but he will punish all who have sinned against God. Well, God in love for us, he sent his son Jesus into the world to save and to rescue people from this coming judgment, to bring salvation, to speak peace, so that there is nothing between us and God. And he did this, of course, by going to the cross here and paying the penalty for our sins upon that cross in full. And so we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus comes into Jerusalem here, riding upon the colt of a donkey, announcing that he is the Messiah, that he is the King of Kings, that Zechariah 9:9 spoke of, the one who brings salvation. And notice the text says here, to you this King is coming. He is coming to you personally. Behold, your King is coming to you. He is coming to save you, to be your king, humble and mounted on the colt of a donkey. He comes to you now, humble and meek and lowly, to bring you salvation with an offer of peace. He is not coming to judge you right now. He's not coming to condemn you. He's coming to you to save you. But listen to the contrast. When he will come a second time. In the book of Revelation, it speaks of him not coming on a donkey there in meekness. Revelation 19:11 reads, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who is sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." You see, you don't want to meet Christ like that, as an enemy of him, when he comes again. But today, in this time now, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time, when he comes to you on the colt, on a foal of a donkey. He comes to you to bring peace, to bring you salvation. You see, when you leave this life, and you don't know when that is, none of us do, or if Christ returns, you don't want to be on the wrong side of him then. You don't want to be his enemy then. He comes now to bring you salvation and offers peace. You know, recently in Manchester, they had a gun amnesty in which people turn their guns into the police. And whereas normally it is a criminal offence in this country to be in the possession of a gun in the UK. Well, under this amnesty, they could just turn up at the police station, give up their guns, and they would not be charged with having possession of them. I looked online, and the minimum sentence for being in possession of a gun in the UK was 5 years in jail. But criminals came turning in their guns, amongst other guns, an AK-47, an Uzi submachine gun. Normally, if people were found in possession of those weapons in this country, they would have no chance of escaping prison for a very long time. But in this gun amnesty, which they did to get more guns off the street, out of circulation, they were allowed to come and just hand in their guns and face no charges whatsoever. Well, Jesus comes to you now, meek and gentle. He comes to you who would otherwise be later found guilty at the judgment throne. You who are guilty of breaking his laws. And he says to you, if you will receive him as your king and your savior in this time now, in this time of amnesty, no charge will be brought against you. You can come to him just like those criminals could turn their guns in. You can turn your rebellion in. No charge brought against you. And you could have grossly sinned all last week, even last night, even this morning on your way here. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. Behold, your king is coming to you, meek and gentle on the colt of a donkey. He comes with salvation to bring it to you, to speak peace to you. So will you accept? Embrace his peace right now. Come under his reign and rule. Well, verse 6 continues. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. The account in Mark's gospel adds, and they went away and found a colt at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there, no doubt the servants of the owner of that colt, said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told him what Jesus had said to tell them. Tell them the Lord has need of it. And they let the colt go. Now, we're not told here whether this was something supernatural in them just going and taking this colt here and saying, what do you need it, what you're doing, and the Lord has need of it, and they let it go. Or whether it was something prearranged. Seems to me with the conversation there was something supernatural about it, but we don't know. But something else we can note and should note here, though, is Jesus did not say, tell them, our Lord has need of it. As in merely just the master of these two disciples who came. Just, you know, like a Lord as in any other Lord. But the Lord has need of it. Not just any Lord, but the Lord. The Lord of the universe, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so, as verse 7 continues, they brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. He sat on them, being the cloaks, obviously not being both of the donkeys at the same time. And so as Jesus made his way into Jerusalem, riding upon the colt of a donkey, verse 8 continues, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches, palm branches, which is why this is called Palm Sunday, from the trees and spread them on the road. This is what they did in the Old Testament, announcing the crowning of a king. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In calling Jesus the Son of David here, they recognize that he is the Messiah. But they're going one further than that and quoting Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is what's called an Hallel Psalm, a song of praise. This was sung at the Passover in Jerusalem, so it's likely fresh on the people's lips. But they are shouting, they are singing this loudly and boisterous there. Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The word Hosanna means save now. But most of these people by the roadside exclaiming this, they're not actually asking for Jesus to save them from their sins, of which he's coming to do. Most of these proclaiming this by the roadside are not after salvation from the judgment throne, but they have a wrong view of the Messiah. They think he's coming now, the Messiah, into Jerusalem as an earthly king to free them from Roman occupation. And so many of these same people shouting Hosanna and laying the cloaks and palm branches by the roadside only a week later will be shouting crucify him, or less than a week later. But he is not coming as the conquering king on the white horse this time here in our text. He is coming humble on the colt of a donkey to bring peace, to bring salvation. Verse 10, and when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up saying, who is this? As the people here are all the singing and the praising. At the arrival of the long-expected Messiah, news starts traveling through the city. What is happening here? And verse 11, the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Maybe his followers traveling with the Lord here announced this to them with some pride, saying, yep, this Messiah is from where I'm from. He's from Galilee. And then once in Jerusalem, in verse 12, Jesus then acts out and fulfills another Old Testament text, also announcing that he is the Messiah, the King of Kings. Verse 12 reads, and Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He's coming meek and lowly, but don't try to take advantage. Now, this is the outer court here of the temple. And in the Old Testament law, the Jews, they required that visitors from the feast, remember, people from everywhere came to Jerusalem for the Passover, but it was required they purchased their sacrifices in Jerusalem. So for the visitors especially, I mean, they couldn't transport their animals all that way, many of them. So for visitors especially, those selling animals for the sacrifice here at the temple, they were necessary. And money changers were needed. They were necessary since people came to the Passover and other festivals from afar, from many different nations using different currencies. Even the different towns of Galilee in this time had their own coinage. So money changers were necessary here. And so the issue is not buying and selling per se here. You know, I mean, we don't have these things in our church, but this text does not forbid, for instance, it does not mean it's wrong for a church to have a bookstore where they make good Christian books accessible to the people at a fair price that will be profitable for people's souls. It's not saying a church can't have a coffee shop where people meet and fellowship even before the service, or in the week or whatever, and make enough to cover the costs, employ someone, earn someone an honest wage. But what is happening here at the temple is extortion. You see, even if the people of Jerusalem who lived there brought their own animals, they couldn't even do that because there was a good chance they would be rejected as unfit for the sacrifice. Oh, that's not good enough. And they'd make them buy a lesser one at a high price. So they were kind of forced to buy these rip-off ones in order that the priest would pass them. And they were being ripped off, in other words. and taken advantage of. The temple had become a money-making enterprise. But what is one thing that is condemned in these verses is the prosperity gospel you see around today. There was a prosperity church in Manchester that I once heard. The congregation was told, the pastor said this in a sermon. He preached a whole sermon on it, that you need to give more because your pastor deserves an open-top sports car. You see, those prosperity preachers on TV who were all about give me all your money and take advantage of people are condemned by Jesus in this verse. Verse 13. Jesus, he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers, a den of thieves. Now, Jesus here, he quotes the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 56, verse 7. Remember, they was all familiar with these scriptures he's speaking to in Jerusalem. But let me read you what he quotes in context. Let me read you the verse before and the verse after Isaiah 56, 7. Isaiah 56, verse 6 says, also the foreigners, non-Jews, who join themselves to the Lord. The foreigners, non-Jews, who become the Lord's people. Verse 7, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. For all the peoples. Not just for the Jews, but for all the peoples. That is, people of every nation who will join themselves to the Lord, who will have Jesus, the Lord, as their king. And the next verse, Isaiah 56, verse 8, then continues, the Lord God who gathers the dispersed of Israel declares, yet others I will gather to them, to those already gathered. You see, Jesus once again declares here, I am that Messiah. And I am not just the King of Israel, but I am the King of the nations. The temple, where people come to worship God, this is my house, he says. And it's not to be a house where people are ripped off and taken advantage of, just like his church, the believers, are not to be. It's not merely a money-making machine. Well, it's not a money-making machine. But my house shall be called a house of prayer, he says. And notice here, his church, his people prays. Pray. Verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Right there in the temple, blind people and lame people are brought to Jesus now, and he heals them right there. Now, this has significance. We've already been told earlier in Matthew's gospel what Jesus was communicating by giving sight to the blind and making the lame walk. Do you remember the time when John the Baptist was in prison and he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask, are you the coming one or shall we look for someone else? Are you the coming one, the expected Messiah? Well, Jesus, remember, he sent word back to John the Baptist and said, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight and the lame walk. In other words, yes, I am that coming one. I am the expected Messiah. I am the coming King, he says. And so, many times before this now, though, we have seen Jesus give sight to the blind. He's made the lame walk. But this time, it's different. You see, before, on the other occasions, he kept telling them, don't go telling everyone. Don't go broadcasting it yet. Why not? Because he said, my hour is not yet come. You see, before when he did those things, it was not time for him to go to the cross yet. You see, Jesus knew that the moment he did this as publicly as he did now, he would be announcing to all that he is the Messiah, and this would lead to him being put upon the cross. Well, this time, as he said himself, no one can take my life from me. He now comes to give it, to lay it down. You see here, Jesus is making the blind see and the lame walk right there in the temple in Jerusalem. There's no hiding this now. He is declaring before them all that he is the Messiah, the King of Kings, openly. Verse 15, but when the chief priests and the scribes saw this, the religious hierarchy there, when they saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. And they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them. Now, just as when they spread the cloaks on the way into Jerusalem, that was what they did in the Old Testament when they were crowning a king. Here again, the people were singing and shouting in Psalm 118 here to Jesus. The people are proclaiming the king, the Messiah, is here by all this. But the scribes and the chief priests are indignant when they hear this and see the wonderful things he did. They are angry when they see this. And so they say to Jesus, do you hear what these people are saying? As in, they are claiming that you are the Lord. You better tell them to stop, or you'll be guilty of blasphemy. Jesus simply replies to them, yes, I can hear what they're saying. I hear them. And as he continues in verse 16, yes, have you never read, out of the mouths of infants, of babes and nursing babies, you have prepared praise. Jesus this time quotes Psalm 8 and attributes this psalm of speaking of him. And what is significant here is that this psalm clearly refers to God. Now let me read some of Psalm 8 to you. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Tell them the Lord has need of it. Not just any Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established your strength or praise because of your adversaries. You see, in Psalm 8, you have infants praising God as they were in this text now, in praising Jesus. When the scribes and the chief priests say to Jesus, can you hear them? You better quieten them down. Jesus replies there with Psalm 8 saying, yes, I hear what they're saying. They are praising God. You see, Jesus announces in this verse that he is the King of Kings, that he is the Lord of Lords, that he is God in flesh. There's no hiding now. He announces this openly. And verse 17, and leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there, most probably in the house of Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary. As Joseph Hall commented, it seemed that Jesus loved to get away and be refreshed at their home. But he enjoyed their company there. And that's how a home should be that enjoys the company, one that enjoys the company of Jesus. It's amazing to think how he liked to be there and enjoy their company just before going to the cross. But Jesus announces himself here as the Savior of the world, as the Messiah, as God in flesh, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So let me close by asking this to you all. Is he your Lord? Is Jesus your King? Because he comes to you now humbly to make peace with you. He comes to you with an amnesty. Whatever you have done before, doesn't matter. You can make peace with him right now at the cross. And he won't charge you for any of those sins. He comes to bring you salvation. But one day, it will be too late. So make peace with him now. Come to your senses and take advantage of this amnesty now. And receive Jesus as your King. Let's pray. Our Father, as you came into Jerusalem here, humble, but as the King of kings, the Lord of lords, opt to bring salvation to peace. We pray you would come to people this day through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.